friends, I want to just tell you about something that I read just recently about a 747 jetliner that was halfway across the Atlantic Ocean when the captain got on the loudspeaker and said, "Ladies and gentlemen, we have lost one of our engines. We can still reach London with the three engines we have left. Unfortunately, we're going to be 1 hour late." An hour later, the captain made another announcement. "Sorry, but we lost another engine. No need to worry, because we can still make it on two. However, it will make us 2 hours late." A short while later, the passengers heard the captain's voice again. "Guess what, folks? We have just lost the third engine. But rest assured, we can fly with only one. We will now arrive in London 3 hours later." At this point, one passenger became furious and shouted out, "For Pete's sake, if we lose another engine, we'll be up here all night." The point is this: like an aeroplane losing power, many of us are running on only one engine as well. While we desire power in our lives, we feel like we are losing altitude. We feel like we are experiencing power failure. If you look at the Christian world today, pastors are speaking about it on Twitter. Pastors are speaking about it at meetings, at conferences, that there is, in the Christian world, there is a withdrawal of people. There is a fading away of Christians who were once regular and faithful in the house of God, that suddenly they become cold and indifferent. There is a fading away. There is a losing of altitude. There is a losing of power in our lives. Friends, some time ago, I started a series of sermons called Getting to Know God. I shared about our glorious, our faithful, our holy, our omniscient, our omnipresent God. Why? Because how you and I view God, friends, will affect how we live our lives. How you view God will affect how you live. And so it is vitally important, friends, that we have a correct view of God, or we will never be able to live in the full freedom and joy that comes from trusting and following the one true God. I trust that as we have been through these weeks now, that you have gotten to know him better as we shone the spotlight on the various aspects of his glorious character. Today I want to share about the third and last omni attribute of God. These attributes are a bit difficult to grasp, for us to grasp, because we have nothing to compare them with in our minds. Our knowledge is limited, but God is omniscient. Do you see that? While our knowledge is limited, God is all-knowing. While we are limited in space, we can only be one place at one time. Our God is omnipresent, that he is all places at all times. And today, while you and I are weak, our God is omnipotent. He is all powerful. You see that, friends? This is what I want to share about today. In our minds, if we think of being all-powerful, we think of like a Superman comic character who does who can leap over buildings, who can fly through the air, and who can overcome the laws of nature. But our God is not Superman. God is powerful. His power is such that he will never strain to accomplish anything he desires. You know that he is so powerful, friends, that some things he just spoke into being. He didn't strain and have to work hard and have to pump iron. God does never need to work out. He never needs more power. There is no kryptonite that will reduce his power. He is always powerful. He is all powerful all the time. It's important for us to remember that, friends, because sometimes we think God is like us. We weak and feeble and unable to do certain things, but God has to think those things and they are done. Do you see that, friends? I want you to renew your vision of the glory of God, that we serve an awesome God, that he is all powerful, that he is all knowing, that he is all present. And that will change, friends. That will change how you live your Christian life. The word omnipotent is derived from a Latin word that refers to the fact that God's power is infinite and unlimited. Omni means all. And potent means power. God is all power. Friends, let me give you a definition. God's omnipotence is God's unlimited authority to bring into existence or cause to happen whatsoever he wills. Whatsoever he wills. I want to give you an easy definition, because I said to the people at the church, when I meet you at the post office, I'm going to ask you for the easier definition of omnipotence. Yeah, is it? Nothing is too difficult for God. Amen? What is omnipotence? Nothing is too difficult for God. Amen, man. The biblical word almighty is about God's omnipotence. It occurs 345 times in the Bible and is never used of anyone else. We never hear that Moses was omnipotent. We never hear that John the Baptist was omnipotent. But only God is omnipotent. He alone is mighty. He alone is powerful, all powerful. In Psalm 89, verse 8, the Bible says, O Lord God Almighty. Listen to that. O Lord God Almighty, who is like you? You are mighty, O Lord, and your faithfulness surrounds you. There are four things that God cannot do. You say, but hang on, Keith. You said he can do all things. You said he's all powerful. But there are four things he cannot do. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. He cannot deny himself. It's not there. He cannot deny himself. Secondly, in Titus 1 verse 2, he cannot tell lies. God cannot lie. Thirdly, James 1 verse 13, God cannot be tempted to evil. He cannot slip up. He cannot be tempted. And thirdly, fourthly, he cannot change his basic nature. He cannot say, you know what, I'm kind, but oops, I'm not kind today. He cannot change that. You know Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. This is one of my favorite verses. You will remember it. God is not a man that he should lie, nor is he the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Do you see that? He cannot change his nature. He is who he is. The doctrine of God's omnipotence, friends, is found everywhere in the Bible. Although the word is not used in our modern translations, it is a word found in the King James Version. Let's look at Revelation chapter 19, verse 6. John had heard this. He heard this, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, "Hallelujah! For the Lord God omnipotent reigns." If you look at another version, in place of the word omnipotent, you will find, "Hallelujah! For the Lord God Almighty reigns." Do you see the two? Friends, Handel composed his majestic hallelujah chorus around this verse. Job wrote something very similar in Job chapter 26, verse 12, 13, and 14. Job said, "By his power he churned up the sea. By his breath the skies became fair. His hand pierced the gliding serpent, and these are but the outer fringe of his work. How faint the whisper we hear of him. Who then can understand the thunder of his power?" Do you see that, friends? Our challenge this morning, friends, is to attempt to understand and experience the thunder of God's power. This is what I want us to experience. This is what I want you to take from this sermon. This is what I want you to reach out to God for. Lord, I want to experience the thunder of your power. Psalm 68, verse 2 reflects my prayer for this message. Summon your power, O God. Show us your strength, O God, as you have done before. Praise the Lord. There are two verses I want to quote that are not on the screen, but hear me out. I put it on the PowerPoint at the church, but I forgot to give it to Ross. Here are the implications of God's omnipotence. No power in this universe can stop or hinder God's plans and purposes. Do you agree? No earthquake, no natural disaster, no airplane crash, no fate, no luck, no chance. Nothing can hinder God's plans or purposes. Listen to this. What God starts, he always finishes. Amen? That was my mother's thing. My mother used to tell me that all the time. What God starts, he always finishes. When God starts to do something, he stays with the job until it is completed. Last night, the leadership team met at 7 o'clock and we had a meeting. But you know what? We were talking about our new building and the finances that we don't have. But let me tell you something to the leadership team and to the entire congregation. What God starts, he will finish. We don't have to say, "Oh my, now we've run out of money. Poor us." No way. God started that. God will finish that with or without your money. Do you see that, friends? I was saying to the church, it's important for us to remember, because I heard it clearly being said, that someone said, "I will not give a penny for that building." And you know what? You go and look at that building. Hundreds of thousands of dollars that came from God is plowed into that building. Let me say something, friends. There is a difference. You've got to remember this difference. When we give money when you and I give money, we are not giving it to the church. We are giving it through the church. Do you see that? We are not giving it to the church. We are giving it through the church. We are giving it to God. Amen. So I want to encourage you. I was telling the folk, you know, a friend of mine phoned me from Edmonton. He said to me, you know what, Pete, how's the new building coming along? He used to live here. He used to come to our church. He says, how's the new building coming along? I said, it's coming along awesome. He said, man, I wish I could give some money for the building. I said, you can, but I don't have a lot of money. And I told him, if you give the money to the church, your money will not be enough. But if you give your money through the church to God, it will be more than enough. Do you see that, friends? So, for all of us during this COVID time, for the last 7 months, some of us have not given to the church. We have not tithed to the church, through the church to God. We have held back. And I want to release you this morning, friends. I want to release you this morning. I want you to give benevolently. I want you to give generously as God lavishes his blessing upon us, that we will be a blessing back to him. Amen. Now, that's not part of my notes. Ross must edit that. Some people are all like mad, but okay, wait. 1 Peter 1 verse 5 is not on the screen. Teaches us that we are kept secure by his power, not our power. Even if I'm Mr. Universe bodybuilder, I am not kept secure by my power. We are kept secure by God's power. 1 Peter 1 verse 5 says, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. We are shielded by God's power. What about Philippians 1 verse 6? Reminds us that God won't stop halfway through his work in our lives. It says, the Bible says in Philippians 1 verse 6, being confident of this, what? That he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus, or Christ Jesus. Friends, in Psalm 139, we've been looking at this psalm. We spoke about this psalm, verses 1 to 6. And in verse 1 to 6 of Psalm 139, we spoke about God's omniscience, that he is all-knowing. And then in Psalm 139 from 7 to 12 last Sunday, we spoke about God's omnipresence, that God is all places. Now the psalmist continues to turn his attention to God's omnipotence. And in verse 13 to 18, he says, for you created my utmost being and knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to pass. I am 62 years old, almost 63. Before I lived day one, God had my whole life written out. How precious to me are your thoughts. God! Exclamation mark. How vast is the sum of them? Exclamation mark. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Isn't that marvelous, friends? That God is thinking so many thoughts about you and I, that as David said, if I have to write down all the thoughts of what you think about me, they will outnumber the grains of sand. Isn't that wonderful, friends? Listen, let me say one thing about the difference between preaching here and preaching in the church. In the church, I shortened the sermon so much so that I felt guilty because God had given me something to say. But yeah, because you're sitting on your lazy boy, I'm taking it easy. I'm taking my time. Okay? You can go up and grab a coffee, but I'm taking my time, friends. I don't even see one thumbs up. I don't even hear an amen. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Maureen and Ross. Praise the Lord. Let's not rush anymore. There are many passages that can help us better understand the depth and thunder of God's power. I want us to focus on Jeremiah 32 verse 17. We'll get there later. Just hold on. Let me give you the context of this passage. Let me give you some background. The prophet Jeremiah was a very timid, small-built, humble little guy, right? He was commissioned by God to proclaim a very unpopular message. That message was that Judah was about to be destroyed by the Babylonians. That this message was his job. He was commissioned by God to prophesy these things. And the people didn't like him for this. And then beginning in chapter 30, Jeremiah starts to prophesy about incidents that are beyond this destruction by Babylon. He looks at beyond the impending judgment to a time of Judah's, Israel's restoration and salvation. Though God's people would be conquered and deported to Babylon, they will return 70 years later. Let's look at Jeremiah 31 verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations. Proclaim it in distant coastlands. He who scattered Israel will gather them and will watch his flock like a shepherd. God is saying through Jeremiah, though you will be scattered by the Babylonians, listen, there's coming a time when I will gather you and I will watch over you like a good shepherd. God will once again restore and repopulate this united nation. When we come to Jeremiah chapter 32, we read that the prophet is imprisoned again. Because he's prophesying these things, the king Zedekiah, they all fed up with him now. They all leave him. They all head out. They all mad with him. They throw him into prison, hoping that it's going to go away. And then we see that even while they doing this, that just outside the walls of Jerusalem, there was King Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians ready to pounce on them. Then in the same chapter, I love this part, friends. Jeremiah breaks out into prayer and praise. Verse 17. He says, "Ah, Sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arms." Jeremiah saying to God, nothing is too hard for you. Isn't that something? Jeremiah knew that God was omnipotent. He could do anything. God could do anything he wanted. He created the heavens and the earth, and he can literally do anything. Then to add to that, while he's saying, God, nothing is too hard for you, he begins to reminisce. He begins to look back in history. And let's look what he says in the very next verse. He says in verse 18, O great and powerful God, whose name is the Lord Omnipotent, whose name is the Lord Almighty. Great are your purposes and mighty are your deeds. You performed, past tense, history, miraculous signs and wonders in Egypt, and have continued them to this day, both in Israel and among all mankind, and have gained the renown. You have gained the name that is still yours. I want to say God has not changed an iota, friends. God hasn't changed a little bit. That he can still do great and mighty things in our lives. Jeremiah reminds himself of God's power who made the heavens and the earth. Nothing's too hard for him and so on. And he looks at the history. And then in verse 26 and 27, God answers his prayer. Jeremiah's talking away. Now God says, hang on. I've got to ask you something. God answers his prayer. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. He has a question for you, but Jeremiah, is anything too hard for me? God urges Jeremiah to greater faith by taking the prophet's own statement in verse 17. Nothing is too hard for you, Lord. Right? And now God turns it around in the form of a question. Jeremiah, do you really believe what you have just said? Is anything too hard for me? This is what we have to deal with, friends. Even in my own life, even when I pray for the finances of our new building, I say, Lord, you can do it. But do I really believe it? Do you see that, friends? And this is what God is saying. I'm saying, Lord, there is nothing too hard for you. And God is saying, is there anything too hard for me? You see that, friends? What about our dear sister Sarah? When she doubted God's promise that God would give her a son, she knew her body was past childbearing. So when God said she's going to have a son, she laughed. That's what her son's name, Isaac, means, son of laughter. She laughed. You know what God did? Let's look at it. God said to Abram in Genesis 18, verse 13 to 14, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I'm old? Question, is anything too hard for the Lord? You say, Lord, you are a powerful man. You're awesome. You're powerful. Do we really believe that, friends? Do you really believe it? Do you apply it to your life? Or do you just say something and then after that bite your nails in worry? I want to shorten the sermon too. We need to appropriate the power of God. We need to apply the power of God in our lives. We need to stop living like flat pancake Christians. We need to know that God Almighty is in your life and that He has a power for you. The first type of power is that we are reminded about is the power for witnessing. God has given us the power to witness to other people. Acts 1 verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Friends, we are witnesses. We are to tell people about God because we have been infused with the Holy Spirit power for the task of communicating the gospel in our community, in our county, in our country, in our continent. God equips us for the task. How? He gives us power to do so. Have you accessed that power? Say, Lord, I want to invite people to do Alpha, but I'm scared of that. I'm full of fear of asking them. God is saying, yeah, don't do it by yourself. Appropriate. I have given you the power to witness. When people say no, you don't have to take it personally. Secondly, I want to talk about, while we need power for witnessing, we need power for loving. Many of us have settled for a mediocre Christian life. We have fooled ourselves into thinking we will never change. Some of us, when we became Christians, we couldn't let go of certain substance abuse. We couldn't let go of certain bad habits. Because we say, well, that's just how I am. I can't change. Well, you need power for living. You need power for living, friends. Don't try and do it in your own strength. God has the power for you to live a good and an awesome Christian life. Let's read Ephesians 1 verse 18 to 20. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance to the saints, and His incomparably great power for us. His great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of His mighty strength, which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly places. Friends, do you have the same power that raised Christ from the dead flowing through your veins? Do you have the power of God? Or are you like, oh, keep poor me, gentle me? Eh? Do you get knocked down by every wind? Do you get discouraged by every negative word? Do you want to leave serving God because someone never greets you? You need the power of God to flow through you, man. I'm talking to me. You don't have to listen and say, no, I'm not accepting that. But I'm talking to me. I take everything personally, friends. And God is saying, but Keith, don't be a weakling. Let the power of God rest powerfully in your life. You know what, friends? We need the same power that raised Christ from the dead to be operating in our marriages. We need the same power to be operating in our families, in our finances. And we need to trust our omnipotent God for when we struggle with a physical problem. Friends, with God, all things are possible. There is no circumstance or attitude or person outside of God's power. Remember, you don't need to necessarily have great power, great faith, great faith. But rather, you need to have faith in a great God, a great God. At grad school when I was studying, one guy said to me, "Hey, Keith, you are a great man of God." I said, "No, I'm a man of a great God. Do you see that? I am a man of a great God. I'm not a great man of a God. I'm a man of a great God." There's a difference. God is omnipotent. It's not on the screen. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 says, we have been given the spirit of power. 2 Peter 1 3 reminds us that his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Friends, let me encourage you today. You say, "Keith, I'm weak. Spiritually, I'm weak." Brother Paul said the same thing to God. He said, "You know, on three occasions, I went to God. I said, man, please remove this weakness, this thorn from my flesh." And Russell put it up there, what God said. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. "But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power, my omnipotence is made perfect in weakness." Paul said, "Really? Well, in that case, listen. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses." Why? So that the power of Christ's power may rest on me. Sometimes when we're all strong and mighty and we all just eat, and we get knocked down, man. We don't see it coming. Because we try and do things in our own strength. Physically, you're not as strong as when I came here 21 years ago. Yeah? 21 years ago, we were just dancing on the ceiling, man. We were doing prayer walks. We were going on mission trips. We were doing our thing. Now we're tired. We can't leave the lazy boy. I'm joking. What I'm saying is we've become weak. But don't be discouraged. Boast in that weakness so that the power of Christ may rest upon you, friends. The power of God will come upon you. Say, "Keith, you know what? I'm an old man now." Hey, brother, you're still young already. I remember when I turned 40 in the church, we had a little party. And a person called me a pup. I thought I'm an old man. They said, "No, you're a pup already. You're only a pup." Well, listen, I'm old now, but in God's strength, I can do more for God than I've ever done in the past. Because you know what? His power rests upon me, friend. I don't dare do things in my own strength. I'm weak. God said, "Awesome. In your weakness, my strength is made perfect." Friends, I've been adding. Now, just bear with me, please. Do you believe that nothing is too difficult for God? Do you believe in God, God's omnipotence, that God is almighty, that there is nothing that God cannot do? Well, there is power for witnessing. There is power for living. Yes, one more. Power for salvation. There are many people who are churchgoers. I'm not mentioning anybody. I'm not even mentioning which church. There are many people who are churchgoers, but they have not come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. They have not invited God to come in to be the Lord of their lives. They have not changed. Okay? They are what 2 Timothy 3 verse 5 says. They have the form of godliness, but they deny the power. Do you see that? So they're weak Christians. Friends, it's time that we appropriate the power of salvation, power for salvation in our lives. Listen what Romans 6, Ross just put it up there, brother. The gospel, it talks about the gospel as the power of God. Paul says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is," just say those words in your heart, "for it is," what is? The gospel of Christ. "For it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes." Amen?
Amen.
It's the power of God for salvation. If you have never given your heart to the Lord, you have never surrendered your life to the Lord, if you are not a believer, if you are not a disciple, you are not a follower of God, then you haven't appropriated the power for salvation, friends. And you can do it today. You can say, "No wonder I'm such a flimsy, floppy, weak, boneless, spineless Christian, up today, down tomorrow." It's because I haven't the power for salvation in my blood, in my bones, in my soul, friends. Do you know the word power is from the Greek word dunamis? Do you know we get the what word we get from dunamis? Dynamite. The gospel is the dynamite of God. It can blow away sin and bad habits. It can knock off all the hard, rough edges from our lives. It can burst through a hard heart. It can burst through a heart of stone, friends. Are you ready to be dynamited by God this morning? Friends, listen. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, He will unleash His soul cleansing power in your life, friends. Stop being a churchgoer. Be a disciple. Stop being a churchgoer who knows all the words, but be a follower of Jesus. Serve God faithfully, friends. You know this COVID, what has done to us? It's made us weak. It's taken the joy of our salvation. It is like Christians are like, "Oh well," Clarence and I were talking about it, how all over the world pastors are talking that there has been a fading away in the spirit. There has been a fading away in the lives of Christians. There are Christians who are totally indifferent. There are Christians who can't care less about God now. How are some people going to answer God when they stand before God and God says, "During the 9 months of COVID, I didn't see you once in worship"? What are we going to say, friends? We're going to say, "Lord, I was scared of COVID." He's going to say, "But I saw you at Walmart. You were walking among the people and you were laughing and playing and so on. But you can't come and worship me." Friends, listen. We have to appropriate the power of God in our lives. Otherwise, let me tell you, and I'm talking to this chap here, I can become very discouraged. Ross came to pray with me at the church one day. You know why? I was despondent. I was unmotivated. And when we finished pray, I felt the power of God ooze through me again. Friends, because every time I put the power of God on the back burner, be careful, I'm going to find myself in the pit. I'm going to find myself being knocked out, no strength, no energy. Listen, friends, it's time now, during this COVID thing, to get pumped about God, hey? To be pumped about God. I want to end with a little story I shared with the people at the other at our building. Just before World War II, in a little town of Itasca, Texas, I don't even know if I'm saying it right, doesn't matter. A school fire took place and 263 children burned to death. That was before the war. When the war ended, the town began to expand and eventually built a brand new school, which featured the finest sprinkler system in the world. Civic pride ran high. Honor students were selected to guide visitors on a tour through the new facility, pointing out, of course, this most advanced sprinkler system ever developed. Never again would Itasca experience another tragedy in the school. Well, the town continued to grow, more people, more children. And so 7 years later, the school decided to add a wing on the school, a brand new wing, to tie up into the new building that has been built 7 years prior. And when they were doing this, when they added this wing, they discovered that the sprinkler system had never been connected to a water source. They had the sprinkler system, but no water, no water source. What a tragedy it is, friends, when we fail to hook up to the power of God, that God's power is available to us, but we fail to hook up to the power of God. You wonder why Christians are then like a yo-yo, up and down. Right? He didn't wish me for my birthday. I'm mad. I'm leaving. See? This person did this. They never greet me and shake my hand. I'm leaving the church. Yo-yo. Praise God. I'm on fire. I'm weak. I'm on fire. I'm weak. Friends, listen. We need to be connected to the power of God, which is available to us. It's a double tragedy when we consider that all we need to do is get this power to surrender to Christ. I want to end by saying this, friends. What power do you need today? Do you need power for witnessing? Power for living? And power for salvation? Perhaps you are tired of running on one engine, losing altitude. If so, I'm talking to me first, I'm number one. Reach out, friends, to the all-powerful, the omnipotent God. Reach out to the all-knowing God, the omniscient God, and reach out to the ever-present God, the omnipresent God. Let us bow our heads this morning. Father, some of us here have been really struggling, because we're trying to do it on our own strength and how we used to do it in the 1900s. And we banking on past blessings. But you brought us, Lord, to this point today to remind us of what's available to us, Lord. The power of God. It's hard during this COVID time, Lord. Everybody seemed to be sad. Everybody seemed to be withdrawn. it's hard to stay positive, pumped, enthusiastic, full of zeal, full of zest, because we are running on one engine, as it were. Father, as each one is bowed, from the little children that are listening to the seniors, Lord, fill us anew. Anoint us, Lord. Anoint us with your power. This is our prayer, Lord. This is our prayer, Lord. This is our prayer, Lord. Amen. Come here.